launch a partnership with business leaders in your community. If you're concerned and have ideas, contact the American Federation of Teachers, Washington, D.C., 20036. Get involved. A public service of the American Federation of Teachers.
You're listening to WHMD Monroe, AM 56.
WHMD.
For the Motor City, we're the leader of the past.
All right, just a word before we begin. What's going on here? Well, we have rock radio of the 60s on Jukebox Memories, and I think you're going to love this show.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jukebox Memories on WHMD Monroe with Tim Nixon and Tom Knight. Radio, AM and FM.
The
us right now. It's a little thing called Bandstand Twist. Les Elgard, who usually does Bandstand Boogie, getting us into this thing. Yeah, this is going to be just a fun show, man. You've already heard some old Honey jingles, and we're going to take a look at rock radio of the 60s and go back and not only take a look at Honey Radio, but everybody else in town that now, well, I guess you could say was a predecessor of Honey Radio, you know? Our family tree is going to be exposed in front of everybody in the city today. I think that's cool. Anyway, all local artists as far as music and some of the disc jockeys that made it happen and just some fun things. So hang on because it's going to be a trip. We'll be right back. HND, Honey 56, Jukebox Memories. Take a look at rock radio of the 60s. That was the Tidal Waves with Farmer John from 66. Here's The Wanted from 67 in the midnight hour.
Home. I can't stand it. I just can't stand it.
Putty 56, Jukebox Memories, and Jamie Cohen, the Gigolos, Close Your Eyes from 1964. Every single thing you're going to hear today was on the radio in the Motor City in the 60s. And Dave Schaefer, the original Jack the Bellboy, coming up just after 11:30. In between, we've got a whole lot of local artists. And maybe this will bring back a memory or two.
Sunday! Sunday at the Detroit Dragway! The season's first championship meet from Pasadena, California. The world's champion, Don Nicholson.
Mr. Stock Eliminator himself. Driving his 1962 409 horsepower Impala Super Super Stock.
And his 1962 Chevy 2, powered by a 360 horsepower fuel-injected Corvette engine.
Running in the new factory experimental class.
Coming all the way from Pasadena, California to defend his world championship title.
In wheel-to-wheel battle with Detroit's own Ram Charger. 410 horsepower Dodge Dart.
Plus Dragsters, Connie Coletta, Double Trouble, Anderson.
Extra this Sunday. Free copies of Car Life magazine at Detroit Dragway.
Sibley at Dix. Take Telegraph to Sibley. Drive 1 mile east to Dix. Racing begins at 2 p.m.
Sunday.
Sunday at the Detroit Dragway.
WHND Huddy 56. Yes, you did hear WJBK Radio 15. That was circa 1961-62, you see. This, 66, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, Jenny Take a Ride. Right here at Huddy and Jukebox Memories. Thank you, Tom Knight. It's a fun show already. I'm just kind of getting off on this. WHND Monroe, Honey Radio, Mitch Ryder, and the Detroit Wheels. We got to keep telling you that because you're going to hear confusing things coming out of your radio today like this.
More music, CKLW.
The Big Eight, remember that? I'll remember this too, from 64, the Royal Tones. The Royal Tones and Our Faded Love from 1964. Tim Nixon and Jukebox Memories taking a look at rock radio of the 60s. And we'll be talking to our first disc jockey. In fact, we've got a whole list of them coming up. Scott Regan and Dave Schaefer. And who else? Clark Reed, the Keed. Bobby Green, who's down in Houston, and he's going to be calling us in. And I think it's just going to be a good show. Ernie D is supposed to give us a jingle as well. And I think you just need to sit right where you are, kick your feet up, turn on your recorder, and have a grin. Now, what we'd like you to do is call us at 545-5656, because we kind of want to take an, what do you call it? Unformal poll. Informal, that's what I mean. Informal poll. And find out who your favorite disc jockey was in the 60s, all right? If you say me, I'll know you weren't in Detroit. Mm-hmm. You were in grade school with me. But anyway, call 545-5656 and let us know who your favorite disc jockey was, all right?
Hey, Vanners. Burmeister's warehouse is packed with over $1 million worth of van, truck, and car accessories. Van stuff is priced all stock to move out fast and clear the warehouse. These prices are unbelievable. Get over to Van Stuff by Burmeister today. Captain's chairs, $98. GM van running boards, $79.95 a pair. Pickup running boards, $49.95. Van stuff tire covers, $2.95. Aries sunroofs, $30. Van vital door panels, $4.95 each. Aircraft lights, $5. Rubber flares, $19. Mini pickup slides. sliding windows, $29. Valley push bars, $30. Curtains, $2 a pair. Woody van lights, $2. Large bay windows, $40. Ladders, $29. Roof racks, $18. Pickup bumpers with hitch, $40. Fog cover lights, $2. Car and truck seat covers, save big, $29.95. Sheepskin covers, only $49.95. Musical horns, $49.95. Van Stuff by Burmeister's, located on Woodward, just north of the 13 Mile Road, and has new fall hours. Van Stuff will now be open daily 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's every night till 9. Sunday 11 to 4. Van Stuff, Bob Burmeister.
It's Red Cross Shoe Week at Phillips. Hi, I'm Polly Jerome, fashion footwear consultant for Phillips Shoes. I help Phillips decide what shoes to sell. And right now, during Red Cross Shoe Week, we've lined up the season's best styles from Red Cross, Cobbies, Socialites, and Cobby Cuddlers. Phillips has career looks, casual comfort, and fashion right styles, all in your size, even if you're hard to fit. Red Cross Shoe Week means the most styles and the most colors, so it's easy to make the perfect choice. Make this fall the most fashionable and comfortable ever. Visit Phillips now during Red Cross Shoe Week for a colorful preview of Red Cross, Cobbies, Socialites, and Cobby Cuddlers. And remember, we don't charge extra for large sizes. For now, this is Polly Jerome for Phillips Shoes in Northland, Eastland, Westland, Southland, Ann Arbor, Flint, and Toledo.
You'll find it.
If you want fancy store decorations, fancy store displays, fancy lighting, you're probably paying very fancy prices for your health and beauty aids, cosmetics, and fragrances. But if you want to buy name brand health and beauty aids, cosmetics, and fragrances, and exchange fancy frills for no-nonsense shopping in a clean, neat, shiny, bright, easy-to-shop store jammed full to the rafters with every major brand personal care product at no-nonsense, deep discount prices every single day, then Cecile's in Birmingham is just for you. Hello, Cecile Reichlin here. If you want at least 20% off Revlon, Factor, L'Oreal, Almay, CoverGirl, Maybelline, and Cecile's brand cosmetics, shop Cecile's. If you want at least 20% off Sanders, Cadbury, Hershey, and Brack Candy, up to 25% off No Nonsense, Legs, and Hanes Hosiery, 30% off Timex watches, and 40% off American Greetings cards and gift wrap, shop Cecile's. Cecile's wants your drugstore type business, and we prove it where it really counts, at the cash register every single day. Cecile's, 850 South Woodward in Birmingham, where Hunter and Woodward meet between 14 and Maple. Cecile's, where we really care about you.
During the National Furniture Sale and Sweepstakes, it's Dobbs. For Michigan's largest selection of quality furniture at guaranteed lowest sale prices, it's Dobbs. For 12 months interest free, it's Dobbs.
Yes, sunny and pleasant today with a high of 78, partly cloudy, forming a patchy fog tonight, a low of 58, and mostly cloudy with a chance of afternoon showers tomorrow. Right now, we're looking at 59 degrees at Honey Radio WHND. Rock radio of the 60s. Yeah, like 65. Edward Starr.
I dig rock and roll. I can feel the twine and the jerk. I was strict.
WHND, Holly 56.
When it comes to sweet talking,
on WHND Monroe, the leader of the past.
WJBK Radio
H&D Honey 56 Jukebox Memories with Tom Knight of Night Train Productions and myself, Tim Nixon. And today we're taking a look at rock radio of the 60s. Dave Schaefer coming up in a few minutes. But right now, we did talk to Scott Regan, and we just happened to have Scott's show intro. It goes like this.
What do you think, just for our own benefit here, what was the highlight of your whole time in Detroit? How long were you here first?
I lived in Detroit about 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I got into Detroit about 1965. And I would have to say the highlight sort of mixed, interwoven highlight. The first would be the audience acceptance of the type of presentation that I was doing. And second would be my personal satisfaction from doing it, because I was just as excited as the audience was to do some of the things I did. I was very fortunate to be in the right situation at the right time, and when I interviewed people like the Beatles or the Supremes or Marvin Gaye, or went on tours or flew to Chicago to see Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits or things like that, that was exciting to me. I was like one of the listeners in a way, because I was at the time 23 years old, and I could very much relate to that. And so that was, those were definitely highlights. And the other thing, I guess, the moment, if you had to pick a moment that was a highlight, the moment was the time that, again, I was fortunate, selected by, you know, the management of WKNR to introduce the Beatles at Olympia Stadium in 1966. And being up on the stage, I did an interview with them before, and being up on the stage, it was amazing to be on the stage introducing the Beatles and seeing the audience as the Beatles see the audience. Not being in the audience looking up, but being on the stage looking out, which is a, you know, probably something that only a few people have been fortunate enough to do. And you could see that the Beatles were loved so much by the people. They were crying, they were hysterical, they were screaming, they were pulling at their hair. Girls, guys, they were one with the audience. Reflecting on it later, I said that the Beatles, if the people could have been on stage, they would have sung and said and done exactly what the Beatles did. Somehow the Beatles had become the moment itself. They had become the audience. The audience, there was no difference between the Beatles and the audience. And everybody was crying. I was standing up in the stage and I was crying. It was absolutely incredible. And Lennon, who I had just finished the interview with, as McCartney came by, we shook hands, and then George came, and Ringo went to the drums, and Lennon, John was the last one up, and he walked by and he said, "Hi, Scott." And it was amazing. I mean, I'm sure if I wasn't on the stage, I would have been in the audience, screaming and yelling and carrying on. In fact, I guess it was 1970 something, six or seven, I can't remember, when Paul McCartney did his tour, and I was in LA at the time and saw him at the LA Coliseum, and I was standing on the chair as well as everybody else.
Music, that's our middle name, WKNR. Music, Keener.
Find a job tomorrow morning, got a little
HND, Honey 56 with the Reflections and Just Like Romeo and Juliet from 1964. And we're playing all Detroit artists today. And in just a little while, we're going to be talking to Dave Schaefer, the original Jack the Bellboy. Of course, you just heard part of Scott Regan's interview. We'll be back with him. And Jack Ryan is here. You just wrote that 20 Years of Motown Reflections book that we're going to be giving a couple away, but this guy knows probably as much as anyone, and I feel honored to be with Jack and Tom Knight, who know more off the top of their head than I could possibly find in an index book in probably the next half hour. So, I mean, these guys are just on top of things. Now, you wanted to talk about golden showers.
No, 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 I'm not talking about golden showers today, Tim Nixon. We're talking about Golden World Records. A gentleman by the name of Ernie Wingate owned the company over on Davison. And a lot of artists that you've played this morning, Edwin Starr, The Reflections, Jimmy Ruffin, a lot of artists have, worked at Golden World, and eventually Motown Records bought out Golden World and brought them all over under the Motown label.
Okay.
So it really had more to do with the Motown takeover than anything else. Ernie Wingate was very successful on his own level. He was known for building up companies and selling them and making a great deal of money at it. So whatever he's doing today, I'm sure he's living very comfortably.
So what year was that?
Probably in the mid-60s. In the mid-60s, all those artists came over. J.J. Barnes came over at that time. Edwin Starr, The Reflections, Jimmy Ruffin, all of whom went on to have quite successful careers over under the Motown label.
And that was Golden World.
Golden World Records and Rick Tick Records in Groovesville. They were all part of the same banner.
Thanks, Jack.
Sunday! Sunday at the Detroit Dragway! The season's first championship meet.
From Pasadena, California,
the world's champion, Don Nicholson.
Mr. Stock Eliminator himself, driving his 1962 409 horsepower Impala Super Superstock.
And his 1962 Chevy 2, powered by a 360 horsepower fuel-injected Corvette engine.
Running in the new factory experimental class.
Coming all the way from Pasadena, California, to defend his world championship title.
In wheel-to-wheel battle with Detroit's own Ram Chargers, 410 horsepower Dodge Dart.
Plus Dragsters, Connie Coletta, Double Trouble, Anderson.
Extra this Sunday. Free copies of Car Life magazine at Detroit Dragway.
Sibley at Dix. Take Telegraph to Sibley. Drive 1 mile east to Dix. Racing begins at 2 p.m.
Sunday.
Sunday at the Detroit Dragway.
You can be sure with me.
Oldsmobile at Jim Muir Olds with your name on it right now. If you're tired of putting money into your present car, if you've thought of how nice it would be to have a new car or truck, see the professionals at Jim Muir Olds GMC. You can be sure with Muir. Sure of the service after the sale, sure of the best price, and sure of professional courteous treatment at all times. Visit Jim Muir Olds GMC on Van Dyke at 19 Mile Road in Sterling Heights.
For the best Olds yet.
New Salem Power Boats at the Great Lakes Boat Show, October 1st through the 9th at Metro Beach, Mount Clemens, one of America's greatest boat shows, featuring large boats displayed in the water, where you can climb aboard and inspect them from stem to stern, trailerable boats displayed on shore, a huge tent full of boating equipment and services, and a nautical flea market with all kinds of used boating equipment. Plan now to attend this big boating event, the Great Lakes Boat Show, Metro Beach, Mount Clemens, October 1st through the 9th, noon to 8 p.m.
Alaris relieves ruddy nose.
Alaris relieves sneezing.
Alaris relieves itchy, watery eyes.
Alaris relieves allergies.
Alaris relieves.
Use as directed.
All right, we'd also like to thank Fred Vobey down there. We call him the original Rat Man in Monroe, one of our engineers, who puts together jingle packages for radio stations, and he helped us put a lot of this stuff together, so we'd like to thank him and show you what was happening in the 60s all over the country real quick.
1320 WCOG, home of the All-Americans.
Highly delightful.
56 Jukebox Memories with Detroit's Volumes and Gotta Give Her Love from 1964. I'm Tim Nixon along with Tom Knight, and we're taking a look at rock radio of the 60s. Hello, Kevin O'Neill.
Hello, Tim.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing real good. I'm enjoying the show. It sounds terrific.
Excellent. For some of you who are tuning in for the first time, Kevin is our resident morning mouth around here, and he's been a fan of radio for absolutely forever, I think, right?
Well, since you and I were born, so that goes back a long, long time.
Okay. You were in Cleveland in the 60s.
That's right, Tim. I grew up in Cleveland and got a chance to listen to, of course, a lot of the action that was taking place on the Big 8, CKLW. The signal that CKLW would shoot across Lake Erie was just incredible. In fact, I think it was around 1966, 67, one of the ARB rating books that was taken in Cleveland had CKLW as the top-rated number one station in Cleveland, which was, you know, incredible. Here's a Detroit station that's right at the top of the ratings in Cleveland, which is, you know, a good three and a half hours away. The Big Eight really did have a big impact on Cleveland radio, even up until about 1975, 76, even those years, whenever CKLW would add a record and go on a record early, you would notice that if the record took off at all, or in fact, a lot of times, even if it wasn't a big hit record, the Cleveland stations were so aware of CKLW's presence that they would add a record to their playlist 2-3 days later. That was the case. Just remembering songs like Respect by the Rationals. I remember when CK started playing that, the Cleveland stations played it right away, and it was just a big hit in Cleveland as it was here in Detroit. A number of records like that by Detroit artists took off in Cleveland. That's why I think a lot of the similarities are there between Cleveland and Detroit rock radio, because I do remember so many of the songs that were Detroit hits.
Well, anybody that gives Cleveland weather every time they do it from Detroit, you'd have to listen to it, right?
That's right.
Were there any disc jockeys that came to Detroit from Cleveland that you knew of before we did?
Well, you know, Tim, it's funny because a lot of the stations tried to get a lot of the disc jockeys, especially from the Big Eight. I know Byron McGregor, the newsman from CKLW, was offered the world to come to, at the time it was WIXY, WIXY in Cleveland was the big top 40 station. There were a number of top 40s in Cleveland, WHK, and then WIXY and WKYC. At one time, there were three of them all going strong, and all of these stations were vying for the service of some of the great Detroit talent, and unfortunately, not too many of them came down to work in Cleveland, because a lot of them ended up going on to bigger and better things in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. J. Michael Wilson, who was a Keener jock for a number of years, ended up coming to Cleveland a few years later. This was back around, I'd say, 76, 1977, and did a morning show on 3WE, but for the most part, most of them did not come down, so the only familiarity we had with them was listening to them on the Big Eight.
How about the other way around? Anybody come to Detroit from Cleveland?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a fella in very instrumental in rock and roll radio in the 50s. His name was Bill Randall. In fact, if you've ever seen the film clip or the movie Elvis, one of the Elvis movies where they show a gentleman with glasses introducing Elvis on the Tommy Dorsey show in 1956, that was Bill Randall, and he started off in Detroit, was primarily a jazz air personality here in Detroit, and came down to Cleveland to work at WERE, which in the 50s was just very instrumental in picking the rock and roll hits. I'd say Bill Randall at the time, if anyone's familiar with rock radio of the 50s, a couple of books I've read on it, Tim, have said Bill Randall was probably the most instrumental figure in rock and roll radio, breaking hit records in the 50s, late 50s and early 60s. He later on went on to New York and ended up coming back to Cleveland, but he's a Detroit boy, so we got to mention him.
Okay, listen, I'd like to invite everybody to join you not only on mornings here at Honey, but on our sister station, Magic over there, Magic 95. You do the Saturday Night Oldies Party on Saturday night, and you do a heck of a job.
Thank you, Tim. I tell you, I want to just mention, to me, it is such an honor to be included on a program like this. When I was growing up listening to these hits and admiring the disc jockeys and the air personalities and the radio stations, I wanted so badly to someday be able to play that music, and I'm doing it now, and it really is a lot of fun. It really is enjoyable, and to be included on a show with great people like Tom Shannon, and I guess you got Mark Avery coming up a little later on, and Scotty Reagan, and people like that, Bob Green, who I remember from Houston when I was down in Houston a few years ago. To be included with those types is a real honor for me, and I'm really enjoying the show. I appreciate you calling this morning.
Thanks, Kevin. What was your favorite radio station again?
CKLW.
It's a case of love at first listen. The station that's all heart.
It's CKLW.
'63 to '64, that's what you heard on the Big Eight.
lane. Ice cold water running through my veins. Got a bad taste in my mouth from bitter tears. Oh, I'm feeling sad cause love's gone bad.
HND, Hotty 56, The Underdogs, and Love's Gone Bad. 1967, Jukebox Memories, taking a look at rock radio of the 60s, and it is good stuff, like this.
Here's Jack the Bellboy, Dave Schaefer.
This is Dave Schaefer, Jack the Bellboy, and Ever Lovin' WJBK. It's 5 minutes after seven, and we're underway for this Saturday night. Let's hope it's going to be a good night all night for you. And this is Clark Reed Day on WJBK. We got some oldies he's going to present to you. And we got the good grooving sounds, too.
All right, those good grooving sounds. Dave Schaefer?
Hello there.
How are you today?
Not bad.
Okay. The original Jack the Bellboy, I understand.
Not the original.
Not the original.
I heard
one.
You say that early.
Yeah.
Actually, there was, I think, seven Ed McKenzie many, many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When people referred to Jack the Bellboy, when somebody says he was Jack the Bellboy, you know, you got to remember he's in his 70s, and I'm not quite that old.
Okay.
Ed McKenzie was the first one. Casey Kasem, you know, does the top 40 thing.
Yeah.
Casey was the second, and then followed by Tom Clay, you remember him?
Yeah.
And followed by Harvey Kay. In 1961 is when I became Jack the Bellboy after Harvey Kay. Then who followed me was Terry Knight. Remember Terry Knight and the Pack and Punk and what have you? Terry followed me. Then Robin Walker was the last one because when I went over to CKLW, then Terry Knight came over there also.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Clay worked there. We move around quite a bit, as you know.
Oh, sure. Do you remember this little piece we just did? That was from 1962, and it was Clark Reed Day.
Yeah.
At JBK. Now, you were doing, obviously, that was a Saturday night show. Is that basically when you worked was nighttime? Or I remember you mostly in the morning show at CKLW, but what shift would you prefer if you had any choice of the day?
Any choice? Probably afternoon. It's probably the better way. You know, doing the 7 to midnight show in those days, you know, I couldn't get out as much as what the guys did when they did a lot of record hops and what have you. And it's still fun to do, but I think the choice shift to me would be like, you know, like 3 to 7. Mornings were very tough because I was not one to go to bed early. You know?
Sure. Everybody knows that a good way for disc jockey exposure is by doing hops and things. And I know you enjoyed doing that. I understood. I understand you had something worked out with your radio station.
Yeah, we did. I used to record them for Saturday nights. You know, we all work 6 days, but they would allow me to go in Saturday and record early and then do an entire show, and that gave me an opportunity to go out and do some record hops.
Did people think it kind of strange that they're listening to you on the way into the record hop on their car radio, and they walk in, and there you stand?
Yeah, true, and then we only said at the very end, this program was pre-recorded, to give that live effect. You know?
Yeah. What was probably maybe the most memorable person you ever met? Because I know during that time period, everything was happening in the 60s in Detroit.
You know, there was just probably a whole lot of people that all of us at that time, Mark Avery, Robert E. Lee, Clark Reed, Lee Allen, you name them. Anybody special, the only one that was really special because I used to pick him up to take him to record hops was Stevie Wonder. I used to go over to his house. I used to pick up the Supremes at one time and transport them back and forth because they were willing to do most anything. But Stevie was a little special because the first time I saw him, he was, 12 years old, 13 years old, whatever the case was, and saw him in Barry Gordy's office, and they played a record, Contract on Love at that time. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not. And that's what the potential was for that, and I thought it was quite good. And then he used to call me all the time. And then when it came to record hops, Eddie Bush is another old radio name. Eddie used to do record hops with me. We'd go pick up Stevie, take him there, and the kids just loved him. Then he, as you know, hit with the fingertips that really broke it loose for him, and he's never really changed that much. Some of the artists that you meet through the years, they change. They get where they think they're really superstars and what have you.
Yeah. Well, you're still active in radio. You've been active in it the entire your entire career, probably since when?
Let me see. I mean, how long have I been in the business?
Well, I don't know if that's too personal, but what I mean to say is you've seen a lot of changes.
Oh, yeah. No, we've seen formats in the early 60s. It was almost like free form. You could play what you really wanted to. You had a playlist, a top 30, a top 40, or top 15 in those days. JBK or CKLW had a top 40 list. And then got to be where they'd list 100 records at one time. And you were able to play out of the selection, pre-selected by the program director, out of those 100 records. But you could play almost what you wanted to play and as many times as you wanted to play. Then the strict formats came through where when the Bill Drake thing, and this when I was at CK, they came in after Keener had started with just playing 40 records, and they got down there playing 25 records, and then it got very tight, and the formats will differ. And then if you remember FM coming on with ABX, they went back to the old style of freeform radio as we once were doing, and they could play new artists, new albums, and what have you, and the other people were stuck with the restricted playlists. And but that's coming around to change a little bit also now because of the what they call new music stations, allowing new material to come through and not everybody playing the same music over and over again.
Did you feel when the Bill Drake format came in, and just to let people know what that is, that's when it was tight, bright, and exciting, and there was nothing that wasn't really structured going over the radio. Did you feel kind of stripped of your powers as a disc jockey to be able to kind of pick and choose what you'd like to do when?
Yeah, true. Yeah, because you had your own form of creativeness, and if you wanted to use little bits and sticks and what have you, there wasn't room for it because you only had just the intros of the records to be exciting, whether they were 3 seconds or 10 or 20.
Mm-hmm. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we just got some kind of signal in there.
I heard that little buzzing there.
Yeah.
But as I was saying, Yeah, it inhibited you because you couldn't do the same kind of fun things. And you see in the latter years here, the two-man shows and what have you coming back. And, of course, you know, Burton's always done that, but it's always been his shtick. A more of a free-form type thing. I think it's great to hear those kind of entertaining shows again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly appreciate you talking with us this morning, and wish you the very best. You're over at Cozy.
Right.
And we just wish you the best over there, Dave.
Well, thank you, Timmy.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
And I think Dave Schaefer gave me a break when I first came back to the Motor City and hired me over at WOMC, so I thank you for that, too. We're just throwing around logos and call letters today like you wouldn't believe, David.
Okay, babe.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.